Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Now, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. You found good in abundance because you tuned in consciously and conscientiously to Ion Las Vegas with your humble host, Barry Shore, the ambassador of joy. Now, notice I didn't say the ambassador of joy. The ambassador of joy. And you tuned into this show for one reason only. And it's a great reason because you care the most in the entire world about you and you finding out more interesting and fun things. Now, it's amazing. I am blessed to speak with millions of people around the world every month with my podcast. Over 500,000 people, thank you for listening and being here and really enjoying what we do with the I in Las Vegas and the Joy of Living podcast. I got to tell you something, though. Here I live in Henderson, Nevada, just outside of the Strip. And whenever I tell people about where I live, they lean in, open up their ears and their eyes and say, tell me more, because I mentioned two words, Las Vegas. It's one of the most amazing places in the whole world. Now, I want to give you a context before we bring on our fabulous guest today. I mean, Aaron is going to curl your toes because he's so here in Las Vegas. But before we bring it, so I'll give you an idea of something. If you take the entire population of New York City and everything around it, the entire population of Chicago and everybody lives around it, the entire population of Los Angeles and everybody lives around it, and the entire population of the state of Florida, add them all together, it doesn't come to the number of people that come to, through, and far Las Vegas in a year. Over 41 million people come through here. You know why? Because it's a place of energy. It's a place where things are happening. This is the entertainment capital of the world. It's a place of ideas. And there ain't nobody that I want to share with you that is more idea-oriented and fun and entertaining than wonderful Aaron Berger. Aaron, please say hello to 29,813 people around the world.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm so excited to be with all of you, but especially with you, with Barry. I'm really, really humbled. Thank you for inviting me on.
Thank you. Well, we call him AB, Aaron Berger. And Aaron is
the nicest thing I'm called.
Well, Aaron is a remarkable being. If I started telling you all the things in his bio, it would take the rest of the show. So I'm just going to give you three data points. Number one, he's been in this business, or we'll call the business of experiential destinations called museums, for more than 30 years. He must have started when he was 11.
I was going to say, it's a nice way of saying I'm old. That's great.
The other thing is that he's built up what we call now the Neon Museum, and it'll always be the Neon Museum. And it's ranked as one of the top 27 museums in the United States of America. And by the way, when I talk about that, we're talking about the Metropolitan, the Getty, the Smithsonian. So, I mean, this is a place that is a destination. People go here because it's fun. We call that the four-letter F-U word, Aaron. Fun. F-U-N-N. Okay. The other thing is that he's really oriented to understanding and making sure that this is an experience not just for adults, it's for younger people to learn about history and to experience things, to touch and to feel and do. So without further ado, we're just going to jump right in. Aaron, again, so happy that you're here with us. And let's just talk about what it is. First of all, what is the Neon Museum? Now, I think everybody knows the word neon. I mean, sure. Are we talking about neon? What is Neon Museum?
The Neon Museum is, I like to say that we are the institutional memory of Las Vegas. So if you want to know about the civil rights movement or the story of women, or you want the LGBT story, if you want to know about the mob, you want to know about the Rat Pack, you want to know about who was on stage when and where, we will tell you those stories, and we'll do it in beautiful, flashing, glowing neon light. So it's a spectacular experience.
Okay, well, everybody just, you got people leaning in because you just gave them the synopsis of what is it. So everybody's saying, wait a minute, I got to make sure I go there when I'm in Las Vegas, or I want to go there because, yeah. I mean, why not? I want to learn about all those things, especially, let's be blunt, the mob is such an attraction, because when you talk about the mob, you don't just mean gangsters, you mean entertainment and the famous people and the Rat Pack and the stories that go with it, because I'll use this term, Las Vegas is a storied town, and yeah. there are not many like it in the world. Am I right, Aaron?
That's absolutely true. And I think that the story is really the core of the experience. So even though I can tell you the history of Las Vegas, you have a history with Las Vegas, and your listeners have history with Las Vegas. And whether you've come once for a convention, or you got married here, or you live here, everyone has their own story. And so we work really hard at making the stories of history available to people, but also capturing yours. We want to know about what your experience is. We want to know what was your first reason for coming to this town and why. Mine was for a father-son trip when I was 18 years old.
Let's back your story for a moment. So where was Aaron Berger coming from with his dad?
So at that point, so my dad lived in San Francisco, and I was living on Hilton Head Island, which is South Carolina, very remote, no streetlights, no nothing. And
that's off the coast of South Carolina, right?
Correct. And so very quiet. I don't know. I think there are 7 people that live on that island. And so it was this amazing experience. So I'm 18. I fly out from Savannah, actually, is the closest airport. Fly from Savannah to Las Vegas. And my dad and I stayed at the Trop. And this was 1989.
Wait a minute. He's dropping names. That's the Tropicana.
Oh, sorry. It's the Tropicana. Sorry. I'm using
we
local
have a
worldwide
audience. You know, it's the Trop, to those who know. The Tropicana, which at that time, by the way, was really hip and cool.
It was very hip and cool. But I will tell you that our rooms were $9 a night. So it was a very different time in Las Vegas.
Wait a minute. Here's the real key. Were they still giving out silver dollars and change?
This was after the silver dollar era. I had missed that experience.
I experienced that.
You got a silver dollar from
many, and foolishly we spent them, of course.
Yeah,
but that's okay. And at the time you went, even though the rooms are $9, were you? You're 18, so you could play at the tables. Were you given lots and lots of food basically for free?
So it's so funny you talk about food. So in this 3-day weekend that I had with my dad, we got into one fight. And the fight was that I couldn't find out what time it was. And it was making me crazy. And my father's looking at me and he goes, "Why do you need to know what time it is?" And I said, "Because I don't know when to eat." And he was like, "You eat when you're hungry. You don't eat because it's noon." And that was for an 18-year-old, that was a moment. That was a moment of, oh, I eat when I'm hungry. Okay, I got it. So, but there were no clocks anywhere. No, the clocks were verboten at that point.
Right. So let's unpack that for people who don't know. Let's be blunt. Thank God we have over 500,000 people listening all the time from all over the world. And not everybody's been to Las Vegas yet. So one of the hallmarks of this remarkable city, in addition to the fact that, of course, there are casinos, which are the bedrock of the economy, even though it's changing dramatically, and sports and entertainment are as much a part of the economy as casinos are. However, in casinos, you will not find a clock. Now, it sort of doesn't matter in today's environment, because even if people don't wear watches like they used to, everybody has a phone. So you can see the time anytime you want. However, you will not find a clock on the casinos.
And one of my good friends is a gentleman named Roger Thomas, and he was the chief design officer for Steve and Elaine Wynn. And Steve and Elaine built the Mirage, Treasure Island, Bellagio, Encore Wynn here in Las Vegas. And Roger said that when he was coming up into the design world, he was given rules about natural light. He was given rules about the use of birds. And he said, "I still don't know why birds were important or unimportant, but I stuck away from birds." And thirdly, no clocks. no clocks. We want no clocks in the city. And the idea behind it is that if you have a clock, you all of a sudden realize how long you've been sitting at that craps table. Oh no, I've been here for, you know, 6.5 hours. I've got to stop. And so the idea of removing clocks throughout the city was very intentional and very thoughtful, and it worked. It worked. And again, even the hotel rooms had small windows. You didn't know whether it was day or night. So again, coming from where I was coming from off Hilton Head Island at the time, this sort of very remote place with Spanish moss and angel oak trees and again, no streetlights, to coming to this place where there's this constant beeping and buzzing and changes coming out of the machines. And again, I don't know what time it is. And it was, I landed on Mars. It was love at first sight. It was, my whole world opened up at that moment.
And this, by the way, great story. And I think that's part of what you just explained to all of us, is that there are so many stories here in Las Vegas. In other words, this is a place where things happen, are happening, and it's continuous. I mean, this is a 24-hour, 24/7 city.
Yes.
You can be here anytime, day or night, and there will be, like you said, machines clanging, things going on, people moving around at any time of the day or night. Good, bad, indifferent, we're not going there.
And one of the things, it's funny you say that, because one of the things that I like to do is, I have a lot of friends, moving here from back east. I have a lot of friends who don't love Las Vegas. And so one of my favorite pastimes is to give a tour to those who hate Las Vegas. So you hate Vegas, don't worry, I got plenty for you to do that's going to that's going to blow your socks off. That is just not what you have in your mind of Las Vegas. That said, I have enough people who ask me if I live in a casino. That's just sort of this expectation of all Las Vegans live on the Strip, and we all have this. So you live in one of our bedroom communities. I live on the other side in another bedroom community here in Las Vegas. And so there's plenty of real life here that is as enticing and can be as desirable or more desirable than what's on the Strip. So it's a very versatile city. I love it.
I think what you just said is so important for, again, the worldwide audience.
Yes. That,
yes, there is this thing called casinos. And by the way, when we're talking casinos, we're not talking just about gambling. We're talking about casinos that thrive upon entertainment. And when we talk about entertainment, we're talking about the best in the world. Is that safe to say, Aaron?
I think it is. I consider us to always be the sort of the beta testing ground for the rest of the world. So if it works in Vegas, it's going to work in Macau. It's going to work in Atlantic City. It's going to work in a tribal community throughout the country. So they try it here first. And because we get such a cross section of people from around the world, but also around the country, and if it works, it's going to work somewhere else. If it flops, it's probably not going to work here or work there too. So yeah, it's a testing ground.
We have, this is so much fun. People are on the edge of this. I got to tell you, we have, thank God, sponsors that love our show. We wouldn't have them on if we didn't think they're worthy of your time and attention. We vet them. We're going to be right back with more Aaron. Don't go away, because raconteur, and he's enticing, isn't he? So we'll be right back. Don't go away. More Aaron on the other side of this message. Opportunity. What an opportunity. I'm going to use 2 4-letter words right now. Free gift. Free gift. Yes. You can have a copy of my best-selling book, The Joy of Living, How to Slay Stress and Be Happy, the ebook version, for absolutely free. All you have to do is send an email to me, Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at barryshore.com, and in the heading, the subject line, just write, free gift. It's as easy as that. This is a life-changing, life-enhancing opportunity. Barry@barryshore.com. You'll be glad you did. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Free gift. Do it now. Take the action. Make it happen right now. Best wishes. Bye. Good day. Beautiful bonds with beloved immortal beings and good looking people. Good looking. So always looking for and finding the good. Our cup runneth over with good. His name is Aaron Berger, and he is an advocate for Las Vegas in every essence of the sense of what Las Vegas is. He was just telling us, hey, you're not confined to the casino. He doesn't live in a casino, by the way. You might thought he lived on the 24th story of the Tropicana. First, it doesn't exist, but he's not there. He lives in a real place. By the way, even the weather here in Las Vegas is much different and much better than most people think. They tend to think of the exaggerated 111 degree weather, and it's all year round. Untrue. I don't want to say it too much because we might attract too many more millions of people, Aaron. However, the point is that this is a really pleasant place to live because you have everything from pickleball courts, golf courses, hiking, everything that's possible to do in a very small area that's really accessible that can bring benefit to everybody in every part of what you want. I'll mention one of the things I'd like you to take off on that, and that is that this is not just the gaming capital of the world. This is the convention capital of the world, right?
It is that. It is the wedding capital of the world. It is the entertainment capital of the world. It is also the implosion capital of the world. And I am a preservationist. I'm a preservationist and a historian. So my job is to live in the implosion capital of the world and find ways to save history here, which is, there's no other place that work is fun, needed, exciting, arguable. It is great.
So when you say implosion, I think you mean that things are changing here so rapidly that you want to pull down a building or an area and build something again over it. And it may have been, even if it was there for 30, 40, 50 years, okay, well, that group, that building, that casino, that's out of date. We want this, this, and this. Get rid of it. Wait a minute. Comes Aaron and says, wait. I need that. I need this. I need that. Is that what you're talking about?
It is true. Yes. So you think about the dunes. So the dunes is part of that Rat Pack era. It is it's certainly something any of your listeners can go online and find images of the dunes property. But if you go on and knowing that Steve Wynn purchases that property to become the Bellagio, it's not enough to tear down the dunes. We have to make it a spectacle. And so this property is the first to be imploded. And what they did was Steve Wynn has a degenerative eye disorder. And so they wanted to make sure that he could see the implosion. So they actually layered the first six stories with rocket fuel before blowing up this building that, you know, became this enormous fireball that blows up and removes any evidence of the property whatsoever. So, yes, we do our job. And part of my really fun job is when a property starts to announce that it's either rebranding or it's closing. You said it well. These properties aren't meant to live for decades over decades over decades. There's always something new, something fresh in Las Vegas. So as these properties sort of announce their closure, I walk in with what we call Aaron's orange dots, and I say, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and give me that. And sometimes I win. Usually I get about 30% of what I ask for. So we'll see.
Okay, so you've just been given a treat.
Yeah.
The treat is a vision they told. I guess we can go online and see the implosion of the dunes.
You should absolutely go online and look at the implosion of the dunes. There's nothing. And what was spectacular about it is that at Treasure Island, in front of the Treasure Island property, there were two boats. This was sort of the height of the family-friendly era of Las Vegas. And so these two boats that are in the lagoon in front of the property, and the boats would have a battle amongst each other, and one would sink. And that would be just sort of the free show that took place on Las Vegas Boulevard. And that was really a part of the genius of Steve Wynn of having these attractions in front of the properties. So in front of the Mirage, there's the volcano. Treasure Island, there's the pirate show. But in this case, the pirate show, they have the way they brought the dunes down was one of the pirate ships shot a cannon, and that cannonball blew up the dunes, right? I mean, just the theatricality of it all is what, yes, we're a bunch of drama queens that live here in Las Vegas. I think
I was going to just ask you, I think this is part of the M word, the magic. I'm saying it again. The magic of Las Vegas. Matter of fact, it was for many years, I think it's still a great show. Magic had its show here. What is Magic? Magic is the fashion show for the country. I think it's twice a year and such like that. It's called Magic. And that is essentially what Las Vegas really is. I mean, you can go to a lot of cities around the world that say they have something unique about them, obviously Paris and Rome and, you know, in London and New York, and they all have something.
Yeah.
This place is magical. And part of it is what Aaron is relating to us is the mindset of being spectacular and a spectacle.
So I love that you say that. So going back to 89 in that visit with my dad and I on at the Tropicana, the first morning that we went out, we're standing in front of the Tropicana and we're looking at the Luxor. And the Luxor, for your listeners, is an Egyptian pyramid. And my dad points to it and he says, okay, I want you to tell me why that building has the only diagonally moving elevators in the world. And of course, at 18, I have no idea why that is. And he said, it's to delight you. And he said, that's what I want you to understand about this city. This whole city is here to delight and to surprise and to excite you. And that is really what the Neon Museum has taken on, is whether you visit us at the museum and you're one of the 250,000 that come through our gates every year, or you're going to be part of the experience of Las Vegas as a whole, we hope that you find ways to recognize those moments of surprise, delight, and excitement.
Surprise, delight, and excitement. Now, I don't think that you can get that in almost any other place on planet Earth in one small place. And I'm so glad that you mentioned this. I was going to ask you, we're talking about 250,000 plus people who visit the Neon Museum in Las Vegas every year. In the few minutes we still have together on this show, Aaron, you're making a move, and I think it's part of this whole idea of surprise, delight, and excitement, that no longer, we will always be the Neon Museum. We're growing above it, and we want to become the Museum of Las Vegas.
Yes.
Tell us about your vision.
So our concept is, and this is working closely with the board and the community and our staff, but that we have been a sign museum, and it's been a place to come and experience nostalgia, you know, see the Riviera sign and the Stardust sign and even the Liberace sign and Debbie Reynolds and reconnect with these pieces, but also learn about other pieces like the Moulin Rouge sign, which is the first integrated casino in the United States, and learn about the civil rights story here out west. So this is a really wonderful sign-oriented institution. And what we did was about a year ago, we came up with this concept of, if we only root ourselves in the past, that's not a good reflection of Las Vegas, because Las Vegas doesn't look backwards. So we have got to be looking at the past, the present, and the future. And so in order to do that, that really reflects more of being the Museum of Las Vegas. And so we talk about the stories of entertainment, and yes, the stories of the mob. And we talk about, even before Las Vegas was Las Vegas, we talk about the Paiute tribes and the nomadic tribes that lived in Southern Nevada and are still here today, thriving in many ways. So it is an all-encompassing, let's just say this, there's something for everyone when you come visit.
Okay, I want to emphasize those few words again.
Sure.
Something for everyone.
Yeah.
So again, talk about the convention capital of the world.
Yeah.
So there's a show in January. There are a couple of shows. One is called the SHOT Show. Another is CES. Something electronic show. For that. And you're talking about not just thousands or tens of thousands. It's really millions of people who are there, but they're not physically, because you have tens and tens and tens of thousands of people attending, and each one of them is bringing back to their home places, because it's a place that the world comes to. The world comes for the CES show. The world comes for the SHOT Show. And they're talking about, when they go back to their own communities later, which are not necessarily in the United States, because the Consumer Electronics Show touches everybody in the world. Everybody's looking forward to seeing what is happening here. And if I'm not mistaken on this, wonderful Aaron, the Consumer Electronics Show in its infancy, going back many years, is where Sheldon Adelson really cut his teeth and made his first large fortune, which enabled him to open up what later was the Venetian and other properties and such. Is that correct?
That is true. There is that for your listeners outside of Las Vegas, we have an agency here called the Las Vegas Visitor and Convention Authority, and it is government run, but it is a in some other cities it might be a chamber of commerce. We do have a chamber as well, but this is all about bringing these conventions to Las Vegas. One of the things that's fascinating is that they actually had a team of photographers dating back to the 40s whose job was to photograph aspects of Las Vegas that would entice people to make their convention Las Vegas. That destination would be Las Vegas. So it could be anything from, Sammy Davis Jr. on stage, and the such and such with two showgirls next to him or her. And all of these photos would go out saying, this is why you need to go and not have your convention in some other city, that is super fun, super different, super, it is just, too much plus is here for you.
Wait a minute. That was a great line. Too much plus.
Too much plus. Exactly. Too much plus.
Any other?
That is Las Vegas. There is never a shortage. We are working with someone right now that described Las Vegas as the attention arms race. And I think that is the greatest description of our city, is that there are so many different things that can appeal to you, again, regardless inclusive of your interests. We've got it here. So if you want to see beautiful stained glass and a church and a cathedral like you've never seen before, I'll take you to Guardian Angel, designed by Paul Revere Williams, one of the first Black architects accepted into the AIA. In Vegas style, as with most cathedrals, you've got the Old Testament on one side, you have the New Testament on the other. Behind the altar is typically Jesus, but not in Vegas. In Vegas, it's the Strip in stained glass, right? That's what we have. We have the dunes and the frontier in stained glass. And yes, when they pass the little brass plate up and down during services, yes, we take chips. We want your chips. So there's Caesar's chips in there and you name it. So that's what makes Las Vegas unique. It is just, it's a quirky little circus tent of a town, but it is like no other place on earth.
Aaron, I'm loath to say the words I'm about to say. We're coming to a close on our time together in this session. I have three quick questions for you. You ready, Aaron Berger? Three quick questions.
Hit me.
Number one, will you come back again?
Absolutely, anytime.
Woo! Thank you. Number two, Aaron Berger, you only have 80 seconds to answer this, and I think I know part of the answer. What is your most fervent desire?
Oh, boy. Oh, my fervent desire. I really hope that people who do experience Las Vegas have this moment of surprise, delight, and excite. And I think that if that is something that you, whether you are here for that CES convention or you are here on a family vacation, you turn a corner and you're just, you have a moment of joy. And I think that's, you know, so as you being the ambassador of joy, I think this is a city of that. So I think that's part of my goal.
Thank you. Number three, may I give you a hug in front of 531,817 people around the world?
I am feeling that hug as we speak.
Let me tell you what hug stands for. Ready? Heartfelt, okay. Unlimited. Giving.
Love.
One, two, three.
I am taking everything and giving it right back to you. I love it. Thank
again,
you.
I am Las Vegas with wonderful, amazing Aaron Berger and the ambassador of joy, Barry Shore. And we have a blessing for all of you. Go forth. Live exuberantly. Spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. We'll see you soon. Aaron, don't go away. Good day. Beautiful bonds with beloved immortal beings and good-looking people. If you're good-looking, so I was looking for and finding the good. You found good in abundance because you tuned in consciously and conscientiously to Insider Tips on the Joy of Living. And we have with us today one of the most remarkable, dynamic, and helpful people you'll ever get a chance to meet. Her name is Double M, Megan Murphy. First of all, welcome, wonderful Megan.
Thank you, Barry.
So, look, this is the holiday season, as she calls it, the holy joy season. And, you know, let's be blunt. Stress is everywhere, except with Megan. She's going to show you how and tell you how you can have a stress-free holiday and make it so much fun that you'll want to do it again and again and again. So let's just jump right in with your permission, wonderful Megan. Let's start right away. What is your top tip for the holiday hosting this year?
Well, Barry, I know that people feel frazzled, frantic, a little holidayed, if you will. I'm here to help. And first up, I like to consider myself a hostess with the mostess, but it doesn't have to be difficult. I have a really cool tool that's going to help everybody be that host or hostess with the mostess. It is the Cricut Joy Extra. It is a smart cutting machine. It is basically an X-Acto knife on steroids, and it helps you personalize holiday decor, cards, invitations, place cards, treat boxes, you know, even cups. You can basically customize everything with the Cricut Joy Extra. It has the word joy in its name, so I know you're excited, Barry. You can be a beginner, you can be a pro, it doesn't matter, because with the Cricut Design Space app, it's this all-in-one intuitive platform. You've got community, you've got templates, you've got images, you've got how-to, so you can really do these fabulous festive products with ease. They've also got a great stocking stuffer. This is the Easy Press Mini LT. It's a little handheld press. No buttons, no settings, so easy to use. Great for doing iron-ons. You want to make a onesie, you want to make a distel that maybe says joy. You can do it with all things Easy Press Mini LT. And all of that is at Cricut, C-R-I-C-U-T.com.
So is that Cricut, C-R-I-C-U-T.com? Everybody get that, because you want,
la, 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 la.
You want one of these, because this is very cool. There's no question about it. All right, well, let's talk about some recipe ideas, because let's be blunt. Eating is a big part of the holiday joy season.
You know it, Barry, but let's not talk about actually making recipes. Let's talk about hacking recipes, because that's really what I'm all about. I don't want to spend my time in the kitchen, you know? So here's two of my little secrets. First, President Whipped Creme. It is fancy. It is a Chantilly recipe. Yes, that is French. No, there's no corn syrup in it, so I let my kids squirt it in their mouths. It comes in extra creamy, or it comes in Madagascar vanilla, and it's got this thick restaurant-style texture, so you're getting perfect peaks. Joyful, perfect peaks. It holds. It's long-lasting. I love the President's Whipped Cream. And then, secret number two to being the hostess or host with the mostest is this cupcake hack. Go buy store-bought cupcakes. I'm not telling. Do it. But then top it with a Ghirardelli peppermint bark square. Oh my goodness. All of a sudden, they look bakery style, don't they? I mean, and is it even really the holiday season without Ghirardelli peppermint bark? Yay to the yum. Love me some Ghirardelli peppermint bark. I gift this. I'm giving it to my mail carrier. I'm giving it to my kids' teachers. I mean, I'm bringing joy to everyone, including myself, because I will be eating it while I'm wrapping presents.
That is so cool. So there's something called President Whipped Creme.
It's creme. It's French. Creme. Don't call it cream, it is creme. When it's that good, you call it creme because it's the creme de la creme.
And Ghirardelli chocolate, hello. Everything about Ghirardelli is great. Peppermint, of course. Woo! My mouth is watering and tingling already.
Yep.
This is so much fun. Okay, well, we are having fun.
It's my favorite F word. It is definitely fun. I fun filter the world, Barry. That's what I do.
Okay, well, for those of us who still do holiday shopping, you got some thoughtful ideas. I'm sure you do.
Obviously, Barry. Obviously, I'm basically Mrs. Claus at this point. Okay, here's what your viewers and audience needs to know about. It is the Bird Buddy. It is a smart bird feeder pro. It is the world's very first smart bird feeder. It takes these stunning photos and IDs all the feathered friends that flock to the feeder. And then with the app, it sends them to your smartphone. So you get these pictures with the birds identified, and then it makes these little digital postcards that you can send to your family and to your friends around the world. Imagine the family group chat with this Bird Buddy. And right now, Barry, 50% off. If I didn't need to bring you any more joy, I just did because these are 50% off.
Wait a minute. I got to tell you something, Megan.
I
love working with you and finding information, and everything thus far is really very cool. The cricket, the President
Creme,
and the Ghirardelli. This one knocks my socks off, I got to tell you. I mean, this is so clever, so much F-U. N-N, because right? And it just answers so many questions, and it just say, please, I'm out there feeding, I'm giving. The whole point of the holiday is to be a giver, right? I'm giving birds feed, and now they're feeding back to us joy, because we know who they are now.
Yeah, I love it. So I'm giving this to my mother-in-law, I'm giving this to my mom, I'm giving this to my Aunt Sheila. I wish my grandmother was still alive because she would have just loved this. It is so simple to use and it really does bring so much joy. I can't wait to see all of the cardinals that come to my windowsill. This is special.
Bird Buddy, I mean, talk about being innovative and creative. Look, this is the essence of what I call double M, Megan Murphy. So she rocks and rolls. You know, by the way, just people should know, in addition to everything else about her, she's the editor-in-chief of Women's Day. Hello, if you haven't heard of Women's Day, then you don't exist in the world. And that's for people all around the world. So we only have we have 48 seconds. My dear beloved Megan, if you'd be kind enough, give us in 48 seconds a zinger for the holiday, something you really want to share with everybody in terms of an insight.
Well, I want you to go to cricket.com, presidentcheese.com, ghirardelli.com, and birdbuddy.com. And remember, and I say this all the time, Barry, the best present this holiday season is to be present. Phones down, devices away, spend time with your loved ones, really connect. The time is now.
Be present, because that's the best present that you could possibly give to anybody. And let yourself absorb graciously all the giving that's going to be coming to you and flowing through you, around you, with you. Wonderful, Megan. As you know, when we finish our insider tips, we do a group hug with 528,917 people around the world. Remember, HUG stands for heartfelt, unlimited giving. On the count of three, one, two, three. Thank you, Megan, and happy holidays.
Thank you, Barry.
Best wishes. Bye.